We're gathered together today on a very, very sacred occasion, perhaps the most sacred in the long history of Ananda. The taking of vows are something that we can do only of our own free will and really only to God. These vows that we will take are really between each one of us individually and God alone. They're here in the temple, represented especially in form by the pictures of the masters on the altar and the statue of Christ, of Babaji and Master. It's as close as we can come to having them sitting here in the flesh with us. If we had the ability to call them down into a manifested form, then we would have done that. But let us assume that they are here witnessing both this ceremony, but more importantly, they know the hearts and minds of each of us more deeply than we know ourselves. And so the vows that we take are taken for this lifetime and taken in a very holy and sacred manner before these great avatars and to God Himself. Now, it's many of us have lived a life in which we have given ourselves to the search for God. We have practiced deeply. We have worked on our attitudes. We have worked on outer aspects of our life. But more importantly, we have worked on offering up those inner aspects of consciousness, of heart and mind, that have held us away from unity with God. And so even though that has been done, there is yet something very sacred and very powerful in the taking of a vow. Master talked about the power of words that have the force of will behind them. And so if we take these vows with the whole force of our will, the whole, one might say, collected consciousness and collected energy of our hearts and minds, if we take these vows in that manner, they have a very, very powerful effect on our consciousness. Moreover, as Swamiji points out, the taking of these vows has a public aspect to it. We are promising in the midst of the gurus and in the midst of our fellow disciples to follow these vows. And that public aspect not only provides us with an obligation to follow them, but it also provides a service to the world, for us, each of us, to become a model, an example of a life given wholly to God. The other thing that vows do are they clarify an attempt or a consciousness that could remain somewhat amorphous. For instance, we, all of us, have undertaken not only the desire to merge with God, but also those practices, especially the practices of meditation and selfless service that help us to merge with God. And yet, all of us also have experienced the forgetful state of we get caught up in life, we get caught up in the drama, we get caught up in our own little reactions, our likes and dislikes. And the clear goal of living a life in order to become unified with God begins to slip away. The taking of a vow clarifies that. And I would suggest that each of you keep, we will pass out a copy of the vows that you take. And then later on, we will also have vows that are signed by Swamiji and two other Nyaya Swamis that will be given to you when we have the opportunity. But today we will give you the vow that you take. I would suggest that you put that on your altar in your meditation room. I would suggest also that you memorize it and repeat it daily, so that that outward vow, repeat it not just mindlessly, not just repeating the words and thinking about something else, but dedicating yourself more and more deeply, more and more seriously to that single intent. The vows for the complete renunciation for Nyaswamis of sannyas begin: from now on, I embrace as the only purpose of my life the search for God. One can hardly be clearer or more lucid in one's attempt than that statement. And it goes on, I'm not going to go on. But the point that I'm making here is that these vows, taken outwardly today, but then taken in the depth of your heart and consciousness as a continual practice, have a great, great transformative power. And they have a transformative power not only for each of us as individuals, but they set up especially a group of us, as we have here, living according to these, sets up a magnetic vortex that helps clarify that purpose for others in the world also. The essence of the vows are to give our lives completely, without any reservation whatsoever, to God and to the search for God. The rest is a kind of an explanation of how we do that. But that complete self-offering to God is the only way it is possible to achieve union with Him. In the Bhagavad Gita, it's beautifully illustrated. Bhishma, who represents the ego, is given the boon that he cannot be killed by any outward force. At the end of his battle, he is so riddled with arrows that he is lying on the ground with his body not even touching the surface of the earth, because the arrows are holding him aloft. And yet, he doesn't die. That is symbolic of the fact that nothing, no force outside of ourselves, can force us to relinquish the God-given gift of ego. But there comes a time when from the very depths of our soul, we want to relinquish that ego. We want to relinquish any sense of maya, of the thought that we're separate from God. As Swami has pointed out in the New Age Renunciate booklet, in the past, that kind of a vow was taken primarily outwardly and primarily by the promise to control certain behaviors, the traditional promises of poverty, chastity, and obedience. That is important, the relinquishing, the renouncing of those outer patterns of behavior. In fact, it's essential. Without that, we cannot get there. But that alone will not get us to union with God. There are many, many millions, billions of people in this world who live in poverty. There are millions who are chaste. And there are many, many millions who are obedient. And yet they are not finding God. Those outer practices alone are not enough. The inner essence of the vows that we take is to self-offer from the depths of our being the ego that create those patterns that must be controlled. We are attempting and promising to untie from the post of behavior the ego itself that creates those behaviors. And it is that above all that we are offering today to God. We are making the promise to live the rest of this life in such a manner that we will by the end of it, or by the end of it we will merge with God, or we will create such momentum that if we have not yet completely finished that task, we will be reborn in such a way that that momentum will carry us very quickly. This, my dear friends, is the end game of countless, countless millions of incarnations that we are embarked upon. And it is no light promise that we make, nor is it an easy task. But if we make it with all of our sincerity, with all of our determination, then these great masters and God will add their power to our efforts and our desires and bring us swiftly to that which ends all delusion. God bless us all. Master said that one day lion-like swamis would come from India in this line of self-realization. I don't know if he was referring to us, but in any case, let us be fierce and determined in these our vows, and let us let nothing, either outside of us or inside of us, any tendency or habit, let nothing stop us from our divine resolution and our vow to live for God.
Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, Friend, Beloved God,
Jesus Christ,
Babaji Krishna,
Vahiri
Mahashaya,
Swami Sri Yukteswar,
Beloved Guru,
Paramahansa
Yoganandaji,
we
humbly
bow
to you
all.
Beloved Lord,
we offer into thy light
all that holds us back.
I'm merging with thee.
Take it all away.
Free us in this lifetime.
All bondages of ego.
Help us live the remainder of this life.
In such a way
that it brings us to thee.
Our time.
Yeah.